Zo zeggen is dat Baruch Hashem Shalom van Yehuda Mitzvah Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Dalet. Vaka ba'aben the name of Yehuda and said we see from the Torah that you're supposed to dress appropriate for what you're doing. I mean, the pasuk tells us that the kohen would change his clothing to inferior clothing to carry out the ashes from the Mizbeach, which because it's something that his clothes would get dirty when he did. As Rabbi Shmuel says, the Torah season was derecheres begodim shabishal b'hem kedei l'rabbi al yimzeh b'hem kois l'rabbi. When you're cooking for your Rebbe, you wear one type of clothing. When you're about to serve him, then you put on better clothing. Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yechon also said it's an embarrassment for Talmud Chacham to go around with patched shoes. Although we find that Rabbi Abba and Chanina did that, Rabbi Nachman says that it's only a problem when you have patches on top. Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yechon also said that Talmud Chacham walks around with grease stains on his clothing as Chayav Miserv, and it says this refers to a stain of Zera, not grease. Whereas they don't argue, it depends if you're talking about an outer garment or an inner garment. Mishnah says a grease stain on a saddle acts as a chatzitza. Shimon Gamliel says this is only if the stain is the size of an Italian iser. With regard to clothing, if the stain is only on one side of the garment, it would not be a chatzitza. If it goes through to both sides, it becomes a chatzitza. Yehuda Neymar Yishmael says if it's only on one side, it acts as a chatzitza. As Rabbi Chanina, if the grease on a saddle, is a chatzitza only if it's on one side, it's only if it's on both sides, or even if it's only on one side. I can answer from a Mishnah where Rabbi Yossi says that the stain on the clothing of the Banoyin, we'll explain what that means in a second, is a chatzitza even if it's only on one side, but the stain on the clothing of Amaretz is a chatzitza only if it's on both sides. Rabbi Chanina said a saddle can't be better than the clothing of Amaretz. And therefore, the stain is only a chatzitza if it's on both sides. What is banoyin? Rabbi Yechonin says it refers to Talmid Acham, who are banoyin, when they build the world. Shlokish says it refers to special clothing that were given out by the bathhouse attendants to the bathers. Mishnah said, Rabbi Shmuel, I'm a mekaplin, v'chulu. Bryce says, Rabbi Shmuel says, the pasuk of Oilas Shabbos b'Shabbatoy, which is an inclusionary type of pasuk, teaches that the carbon of Shabbos can even be burned on Yom Kippur, b'Shabbatoy. On Yom Kippur, which is also referred to as Shabbos, teaches that the Shabbos carbon can be burned on Yom Kippur. However, the carbon of Yom Kippur can't be burned on Shabbos because the pasuk says b'Shabbat toy, which is an exclusion. Rabbi Akiva says the inclusion of the pasuk teaches that you're allowed to burn carbonas of Shabbos on Yom Tov, and the exclusion teaches that you're not allowed to burn the carbon of Shabbos on Yom Kippur. The different ways to dash in this pasuk actually stem from another machlokes they have. Rabbi Shmuel says that you're allowed to bring personal carbonas on Yom Tov. So if you're allowed to bring personal carbonas on Yom Tov, for sure you can bring the carbon of a Shabbos on Yom Tov. Therefore, the pasuk is not necessary to teach that. Rabbi Akiva says you're not allowed to bring personal carbonas on Yom Tov, and therefore he needs a pasuk to teach you. You're allowed to bring the carbon of Shabbos and burn it on Yom Tov, and therefore it's not available to teach that you're allowed to bring a carbon of Shabbos on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Zeir says that when Yom Kippur falls on Friday, we don't sound the horns that we normally do to signal Shabbos on Friday, and when Yom Kippur falls on Sunday, we don't make Havdalah on Moisei Shabbos. When he was in Bavler, Zeir said this price followed everybody, all opinions. But when he was in Eretz Yisrael, he found Yehuda, the son of Rav Shimon Pazi, who said that the price only follows Rabbi Akiva, who says that Shabbos and Yom Kippur have equal Kedusha, and that's why you don't have to make Havdalah between the two. However, according to Rabbi Shmuel, since Shabbos has more Kedusha because you're allowed to burn the Karbonos of Shabbos on Yom Kippur, but not vice versa, Rabbi Zoy, you would have to make some type of Havdalah between the two. So Rabbi Zeir said to Yehuda, the price may follow Rabbi Shmuel, and the reason that you don't need Havdalah is because this only affects the Kehanim, and the Kehanim has reason, and therefore they don't need a reminder to show a separation. Makashisha, the son of Chista, asked Rav Ashi, so what, you're telling me we don't make notifications based on the fact that the Kehanim has reason? Mishnah says that we blow the shofar in the base of Migdash 6 times on Friday, 3 to stop the people from doing work, 3 to separate between Chol and Shabbos. This was on the base of Migdash, presumably for the Kehanim. No, the shofar was blown for the people of Yerushalayim, but would have been unnecessary if only for the Kehanim. Marias Halach is allowed to prepare vegetables in the afternoon of Yom Kippur to be ready to be eaten for after Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos to be ready to eat for after Shabbos. If so, we should need to signal some type of separation, a havdalah between the two, because there's a difference in the kedusha. So you should need to show a separation. Rabbi Yosef said the blowing of the shofar is also drabbanan on Shabbos and Yom Tov. We don't allow it to be blown just to signal that one particular act is permitted. Shishi Ber Davidi said if we blow to signal that an act is permitted, we would not do so for an act that is not currently permitted, but will be permitted at a later time. So even if we blow for a signal even if we do normally blow to show that something, that there is an act that is permitted to show that separation, we're not going to do so for something which is not right now permitted, but will be permitted later in the afternoon. That we wouldn't do. Marius, we find that when Yom Tov is on Sunday, we don't blow the shofar to show that on Motzei Shabbos Shechita is permitted, even though it's something that would be immediately permitted. So Marius says, based on this question, it's clear that Rav Yosef's answer is not a proper answer. Rabbi Zeir, in the name of Rabbi Huna, said, when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, you're not allowed to prepare vegetables in the afternoon for cooking after Shabbos. Rav Mana said, you can bring a proof from the pasuk that says that Shabbos is Shabbos soin, which means you have to rest from all work. That can't be referring to actual malachas, because the Torah already said that you're not allowed to do malachas. The pasuk therefore must be referring to preparing vegetables for cooking them after Shabbos. Chiva Abba, in the name of Rabbi Huna, said, when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, you're allowed to prepare vegetables in the afternoon for cooking at night. The drasha brought by Rav Mana said that it's also. The Gemara says that pasuk refers to actual malachas, and it makes someone who's over malacha be over an asay and a lois asay. The Braisa says clearly, Rabbi Yechon preparing vegetables on Shabbos, which is Yom Kippur, will be permitted. Where it says in Rabbi Yehuda's house, they would prepare cabbage on Yom Kippur afternoon. In Rabbi's house, they would prepare pumpkins. However, when he saw that they began preparing the vegetables earlier in the afternoon, which was really never supposed to be mutter, he said that a letter just came from Rabbi Yechon in Eretz Yisrael saying that it's aser to prepare vegetables at any time Yom Kippur. He said that it was based on a letter from Rabbi Yechon so that people would listen to him. Hadnalach perek ve'elu kesharim.